You're on Talk 1300.
Now, people may not realize it, but the regular official comedian of my show, Randy Credico, who was on with us late last week, was in the news. I think it was in Saturday's papers, or several papers had stories about Randy, our Randy, getting arrested by New York City police down in Greenwich Village near where he lives. And apparently Randy Credico is down on Gay Street. That's a great name for a street to be in the village. It's merely coincidental, however. He was down there, and he saw the police out in the streets arresting some guys for smoking marijuana. And Randy, of course, is an activist in the area of the Rockefeller drug laws. He generally doesn't favor long sentences, anyway, for drug crimes. And he went out in the street. There was a confrontation, and get this, Randy apparently lost his temper and started doing Kojak impersonations to the cops. They weren't that amused, and Randy wound up spending Thursday night in the Tombs. And for those who don't know it, the Tombs is the lockup for arrest in Manhattan. He got out. He's in some pain. Apparently, he had very tight handcuffs on and maybe some other problems. And he's good enough to join us this morning with his story. Good morning, Randy. How are you doing?
Oh, Fred, I'm in a lot of pain.
I can tell.
Yeah. Let me just say, Gay Street, you know, everyone laughs when they say Gay Street. Well, it was named after an abolitionist, Gay Street, and it was called Gay Street long before it was a gay street.
Right. I just say it's a funny coincidence that in a village you'd have Gay Street in the village.
Yeah. Well, it's Gay Street, and it was here, Gay 90s. You know, it's been around for a long time. You know,
it's
the oldest block in the city, one of the oldest blocks in the city. It's definitely the smallest one.
Yep.
It's like 8 houses on the block, and the house that I live in, I rent out of, is a spot on the Underground Railroad back in the 30s and 1840s, 1850s.
Yeah. Now, is that the home of William Kunstler, the famous radical lawyer?
Bill Kunstler, yes, that's right. He told me the story that there were two escaped slaves that died here en route to Canada in a fire that took place in 1847.
Wow.
So,
yes, that's the monumental home.
I know, it's a beautiful street.
Isn't that? Have you been? Do you know the street?
Yeah, I know the street, sure.
Well, all right, so...
I mean, I find it very evocative. It's a very unique area, no question about it, one of the oldest parts of New York City. But, Randy, tell us about your arrest. What happened?
Well, Fred, what you just, you know, you're gilding the lily there, you know, against me here. I didn't go out and start yelling. Let me just...
Okay, tell us what happened.
I'd like to read a letter from Pat Lynch, first of all.
Now, we know you love the cops, so we'll establish that.
I know, listen, I have, dear Randy, New York City police officers would like to thank you for arranging for Grandpa Lewis attendance at a rally for decent wage increases.
Okay,
we
so
need
we established
more people
your
like you,
there.
Pat
Lynch. You're not a cop hater. So what happened?
No, I'm not a cop.
Okay.
Here's the guys in blue. I'm very good with the guys in blue everywhere. You know what
Just
I mean?
Tell us what
in
happened.
This city. And so there's narcotics units down here, and they specialize basically in Shanghaiing people for smoking pot. That's all they do. There's like a team of 5 or 6 of them that go around, and they load the van with pot smokers or people with pot in their pockets. Which you're not supposed to do. You're not just supposed to pull someone over, stop and frisk, and then grab what's out of their pocket and arrest them. I was just reading this brilliant 1999 report by a brilliant AG, not as good as the one now, but when Elliot Spitzer was AG, he did a brilliant report on stops and frisk. And so I'm, you know, have you read that report?
Randy, you're getting off the subject.
Okay,
just tell us what happened.
Anyway, so here's what happened. I've had some problems in the last couple of weeks because I take pictures of cops arresting people for pot. They don't like it, but it's totally legal.
Sure.
And I warn people not to smoke pot on this street here. I said, you're going to get arrested. Well, the other day, about 2 weeks ago maybe, a cop comes up and he says, we know what you're doing. You're telling people, you're tipping them off. You know? I said, yeah. I said, I don't want people committing crimes in my street. If you guys consider that a crime, if a guy were breaking into a house across the street, am I not supposed to warn him not to do that? You'll get arrested. So at any rate, they said, we're going to get you, and I can't wait until we do it.
Hmm.
Right?
So you were
lo and behold, the other day, there was a barbecue I was having here, and I had a friend over who's an elderly gentleman and a woman from next door, and they wanted a bottle of wine. So I went over to get a bottle of wine. I get on the front stoop, on the stoop, and there's 5 cop cars there. And this is a small street, can barely accommodate 1 car. And they got 1 guy, maybe 2 guys, on a marijuana arrest, right? So I said, oh my God, I said, a lot of cop cars here. I guess must have been a murder or something. And the woman says, you're under arrest.
Like that?
Huh?
That's all there was?
That's all it was. And I said, wait. And there was a couple of other words that were exchanged, you know. And so here's what I'm under arrest for. I opened my door. I'm still on the stoop. And I said, Gary, they're arresting me, the guy in the back. to, you know, take over because I got a dog here and I had a barbecue burning.
Right.
So they put the handcuffs on and throw me into the car, and they put them on so tight, and the woman who did this, she's another one, and she's the partner of this guy. They really hate me. They put these handcuffs on so tight, right now I have no feeling in many parts of my wrists, below the thumb. And then we get to the station, and instead of giving me a desk appearance ticket, they exaggerate the charges, two disorderly conducts and resisting arrest.
Resisting
the resisting arrest.
Arrest
was for saying, Gary, come out and take over.
Well, as you tell it, it doesn't sound like there's much of a case.
Well, you know,
they kept you overnight?
They offered me one day of community service. When I went before the administrative judge, not the administrative judge, what do you call it, the arraignment judge, who happened to be Noack Deer.
Huh, former city councilman.
Noack Deer, who has one of these sinecure jobs in the at 100 Center Street. But, you know, Fred, I want to tell you something. The practices of these squads, and I will continue to do this. I don't know where it's going to go from here. We'll continue to take photos, and I will continue to tell people not to smoke pot on the street, and I don't know where it's going to go from here, but these units are out of control. Not the guys in blue. In fact, the guys in blue who had to take me down there after the shift was over for the guys arresting me, they thought the whole thing was Mickey Mouse. He says, we're the good guys. And I know it. The guys in blue don't like this. That's why they don't become detectives.
Well, there is a quality of life issue. I think a lot of people would agree if there's a lot of open pot smoking on the street. It's not a crime in New York to be possessive or to be in possession of a small quantity of marijuana, as you know. Why shouldn't the cops enforce the law if you have gathering places where people are letting off clouds of marijuana smoke?
Well, clouds. Look, I'm more concerned about people having clouds of alcohol in their breath because there's 40
Why
bars in this neighborhood. You know what I mean? And there are a lot of people walking through this neighborhood drunk. Urinate on the sidewalk.
Right.
But those guys get desk appearance tickets right there. They only arrest the guys who are smoking a joint, you know? And I think it's ridiculous and a waste of money, Fred, and energy, especially after 9/11. Let me exploit the 9/11 thing, if I may, for a second. You know, I'm a mile away from the World Trade Center, and we've got thousands of cops making Mickey Mouse marijuana arrests, and you got a police commissioner saying we need more money for terrorism. Well,
let me ask you this. In possession of a joint and smoking, it's not a crime under state law.
No. Under the 1979 Marijuana Reform Act, in which Richard, what's the name of the guy in my neighborhood here, the assemblyman?
Gottfried?
He's the one who sponsored that, I believe. Yeah. And we were talking about it the other day at the hearings, and, you know, the letter and the spirit of that law is not to arrest people. It's to give them desk appearance tickets because it's only a $100 fine. That's it. There's nothing else. All right? A $100 fine. But the policy is right now is to arrest people. You cannot believe how many people are in the Tombs with me, maybe 50 or 60. And out of 50 or 60 people, 40 of them were in there for marijuana.
Let me ask you this. You said you were doing a Kojak impersonation.
Yes, I was doing Columbo. I was doing my Columbo. I said, in fact, when I was in the 6th Precinct for 6 hours, by the way, you know, I was regaling the people in the cell with some impressions. I said, you guys become detectives, right, guys? After doing this for 2 years, making marijuana arrests. I said, you imagine Detective Columbo making these kind of arrests? excuse me, Sam. I hate to bother you, but what's that? That looks like a seed, Sam. What are you smoking there, sir? You know, I really hate to bother you, sir, but that's a major crime, so you're going to have to come with me downtown. All right, I hate to bother... Sir, I can't take care of this murder case because I got a guy smoking a joint over here. Something like that, right?
Yeah.
And
then
they crack a baby. Let's go get those guys smoking a joint.
I know that point. The New York City Police Department certainly has plenty of cops to do both, no? Both investigate murders as well as make low-level drug arrests.
I don't know. But right now, you know, there's, look, I'd like to see these guys doing intelligence work on a possible attack on the city. You know, we need that would be a better use of
Well, they're doing that too, I think.
Well, you got to have your priorities, Fred. And these guys, like I said, a lot of these guys are on steroids. In fact, David Soares, for some reason, who investigates steroid abuse by football players, confided that there are about 700 NYPD officers who are using steroids, who bought from the same Florida online pharmacy, right? No one's investigating that. But I know one thing. It makes you very aggressive, steroids, from what I hear. And, you know, that's the kind of drug abuse that police officers should not be engaged in.
So what happens to you now? You've got
criminal charges
against you? Listen,
I'm facing three charges here. You know, Al Sharpton, I hope, comes out and says, No justice for Credico, no peace. I got out 17 hours of the slimiest, filthiest jail cell, and that's the Tombs. You never want to go in there, okay? You really don't. I'm glad I went through it, but when I was going through it, I wish I was out of there. Looking back, you know, a lot of kids are going through this, and it's not very, very sanitary. You know, okay. In fact, the guy the EMT guy there, who checks you out, right, to see if you got any problems, the guy was whacked out. He was completely drunk. He had a big can of beer. You know, so it's a mess down there. And I had to stand the whole time I was there, Fred, the whole time, because the floor was so filthy. Everyone was standing. And this is not something that should be taking place in New York City. This is something in Thailand or maybe Haiti, but not New York City. You know, there's a high incidence of tuberculosis in the city through the jail system here. Rikers had an outbreak a couple years ago. And putting people through these kinds of conditions. And you know what they have to do? They have to keep the temperature at like 50 degrees so the germs don't spread around. And, you know, I came back and I lost my voice for 24 hours. You with me, Fred?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm just seeing that Governor Patterson has just scheduled a press conference for 12:15 today to discuss what he says will be the next steps in the state's takeover off-track betting. I think there'll be some questions there about his relationship with Mayor Bloomberg, don't you?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You see that story today?
I saw that. I had no idea, but I think it's a good move by the governor to save the jobs of 1,500 people in the city. You know, in fact, but the problem is that these things need to be cleaned up, too, because a lot of those OTB offices look like the Tombs.
Well, no question. And leave it to New York City or just, you know, leave it to government to run a bookmaking operation and run it into the ground. I mean,
it needs to be, it probably should be in private hands and get out of, you're right.
But that's what they do in London and other.
Definitely. You know, there are some upscale OTB offices here. But believe me, the mob guys, when I used to gamble here back in the 1980s, I used to go with the Gambino guys here on in the West Village, and they ran a very clean operation. They had scotch in there and TV sets, and everyone was nice.
Slot machines.
You know? Huh?
They usually have poker machines in those places, too.
Machines. But I'm telling you, they ran a very smooth operation.
I don't doubt
it. To the government, they're the worst bookmakers in the world.
Finally,
really
Randy, did you happen to see the post expose yesterday on your friend Al Sharpton? It was quite something, showing linkages between corporate money giving to his national action network and his threats against companies to organize boycotts. Sounds like Jesse Jackson.
I think it's an important thing. I think it's important that you left out some details.
What were they, Rick?
Because I do have every 2 weeks we have a service line that we give out free turkeys at the National Action Network.
Well, with those turkeys.
Yeah, but some story there, Fred. You know what? For me, it's a lot of grist, Sharpton, always has been, and what can I say about it? It's they said the same thing about Jesse Jackson did that with Operation Push.
Yep, he did.
You know, I wish I knew how to do it so I can keep this organization alive.
Randy, I'm going to let you go. I just want to have one last question. How's the Rat Pack routine coming? Because it's a very clever
Fred,
idea.
Fred, here's the thing. You've joined the Rat Pack. You're part of the Rat. You're the
really?
James Bacon now of the group.
Huh.
Remember Bacon?
No, tell me.
Is that his name? The guy, something Bacon, the guy, the L.A., for the L.A. Mirror. You know, I don't want to say Walter Winchell because you're, 10 times better looking than Walter Winchell. You never wear a hat. But, you know, there was always that guy Bacon who hung out with him, too. He was
a
Hollywood reporter.
I didn't know him.
I'm throwing you into the Rat Pack. And, if I didn't go to jail on Thursday and was sick all weekend, I was planning on doing your voice today. You're the next voice I'm doing. And I think I'll have, because I'm listening to these podcasts from last week, and I'm going to break in my Fred Dicker, I promise you, by the end of this week.
Good thing we have a 7-second delay on the show, because if I don't like it, I'll just kill it off.
Come on, it's the highest form of flattery, Fred.
I appreciate it. Randy Credico,
listen. Do me a favor. Don't smoke a joint on Gay Street.
I promise not to. Good luck with your legal case. I hope you straighten it out without any jail time. Randy Credico, thanks again for joining us. This is Fred Dicker live at the State Capitol. I think we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.